Well, we've read about the altar and the court. Well, the altar was to be made of acacia wood, and acacia is the same word translated thorns. And these bushes are really just thorn bushes, and they were the common sort of bush that was there in the scrub in the wilderness as Israel passed through. And they were really not the best kind of construction material at all. God could have ordered these altars to be made any way he chose, but he decided upon this method, which is characteristic of God, to use that which is humanly weak, that which is fragile, difficult to work with, can't bear a very heavy load, etc. Now, this altar was to be 5 cubits long, 5 broad, and 4 square, and 3 cubits high. It wasn't that big at all. And yet, just like the boards of the tabernacle that were also made of acacia, this would have been incredibly difficult to get these bits of wood, really, from the thorn bushes and somehow get them into planks. Now, we know that Bezalel and those who actually did the work had the Spirit of God to do that. And sometimes when you look at human beings and you see how different we are, how difficult we are as well, and how really incompatible, you know, people say they split up because they were incompatible. Well, you know, everybody's incompatible, really. The only way that human relationships can work is through the presence of the Spirit of God. You may come up with examples of people who were both atheists who apparently lived together fine all their lives, possibly. But I think that for the most part, and who knows what goes on behind closed doors, you really don't. But I think for the most part, really, human relationships are untenable on an intimate level. You can live together, you know, you can do life together, but they are untenable on an intimate level without the presence of the Spirit of God. And this is why in John 17, the Lord talks about the unity that there should be between his people as being the greatest power of conversion of other people. So this unity is something very, very powerful. And I think that you see this really in how the Spirit of God working through Bezalel, possibly a type of the Lord Jesus, though I'm not a great fan of types of this, that, and the other. But all the same, I guess he was, in a sense, a type of Christ, bringing together the difficult bits of thorn bush, basically, and getting them into planks somehow. And then using it for an altar. As I say, this would not be the kind of design for an altar and the kind of material that we would think was particularly a great idea. And the altar's so small, really small. I mean, 5 cubits is 7.5 feet. That's 2 meters, 25, 2.25 meters. And it's 5 by 5 by 3.5 cubits. So, you know, 3 cubits is only, really not very much at all. It's very small. And I suppose this implies that God was not particularly interested in huge numbers of sacrifices. Now, when David and Solomon build an altar, when they build the temple, and it's in 2 Chronicles 4 verse 1, they replace this little altar with an altar of brass, it says, 2 Chronicles 4 verse 1, 20 cubits in length, 20 broad and 10 high. So they replace 5 by 5 by 3.5 with 20 by 20 by 10. So quite clearly their idea was to offer lots of sacrifices. More animals were going to be offered than God had originally designed the tabernacle for. Now, David and Solomon, I think, were forgetting, therefore, the lesson that was taught through the sin with Bathsheba, who was, of course, Solomon's mum. David says, Psalm 40, when he realizes that he really should die because he'd effectively committed murder, he committed adultery, there was no sacrifice to offer for this. And he concludes God doesn't want sacrifice, but the sacrifices of God are broken and contrite hearts. Just as God didn't really want a physical house to live in at all, a temple, but rather he wanted a house of people with humble hearts who were open to the work of his Spirit. And the altar that David and Solomon built was of brass, whereas that of the tabernacle was of this weak acacia wood. So I think, you know, David came to a peak of realization about God doesn't want sacrifice, but then as the years went by, he slipped away from that. Just as we can go through a crisis spiritually or practically, and you come very close to God, and in that time you have a very intense, heightened appreciation and perception of spiritual things, but then God answers your prayers, things go back to normal, and you slip back. This is one of the things I so hate about us, really, as people. And you long for the kingdom when there will not be this fading of perception, this fading of devotion. So I think the acacia wood, this weak, difficult, common scrub kind of thorn bush, obviously thorns associated with the curse in the Garden of Eden, that's what God wanted to work through and work with. And I think the sacrifice was to be this acceptance, this recognition of our weak humanity and a sacrifice to God on that basis. And so I think, as I say, David fell away from the intensity of perception that he got to in the sin with Bathsheba. And of course, Solomon didn't go through that experience himself. And so you can see in his life how, because he hadn't fessed up to his own sins, because he did plenty of them, he was only human, and because he hadn't gone through that sort of public disgrace and slander and all the rest of it that David had to go through, he doesn't have at all that sense that God isn't interested in sacrifice. He wants the grandiose. He wants the huge temple. He kids himself that this is to serve God in. But he doesn't get it that, in fact, God doesn't want things like that. And the whole thing about the tabernacle is of how humble it is and how small scale the whole thing was. As I say, the altar was very low compared to suddenly the altars that generally people made in other religions. Now, God has also said that he wants altars made from earth and from unhewn rocks. So you could argue that, in fact, this whole altar structure that is asked for in the making of the tabernacle in Exodus was really somehow a framework that was put over the mound of earth or of unhewn rocks. That, of course, is totally missed by David and Solomon in 2 Chronicles 4, this altar of brass. They totally miss it. And we also can totally miss the point that God wants simple, raw human devotion. He looks right through any air of grandiose appearance, and he looks right through the cosmetics, and he sees right to the heart. And I've seen this in my lifetime in preaching the gospel, that you can get someone or a group of brethren that want to make a great big fancy-dancy campaign and lots of money, and it must be the most impressive literature, leaflet, website, very, very nicely produced. And strangely enough, nobody is converted because of that. Some fumbling old guy like me, or some, totally unconfident sister, worn down with a sense of her own sin and failure, the guy who can hardly speak the language that he in the country that he lives in or isn't educated, bumps up against some powerful businessman in the course of daily life, and the person is baptized. And so it goes on. The simple photocopied leaflet is thrown down on the street and is posted back with a footprint on it. And that's the one. That's the way that God works. I've seen this decade after decade in my life. This is how God prefers to work. He is not a God of the grandiose. He is a God of the altar of unhewn stone or of earth. And sure, it does need a framework around it. I mean, how are you going to actually physically sacrifice an animal and burn an animal on earth or on unhewn rocks? You do need the structure. And I'm not saying you don't need a structure. But it's very different to the structure that David and Solomon then built. And you could argue then that, you know, the spirit went right out of it, didn't it, in the in the temple service. Ultimately, it didn't really work out. And I think, by the way, when it talks about making a grating of a network of brass with four bronze rings in its four corners, that's in Exodus, I think it just shows again that the altar was really a sort of a structure over the unhewn stones or the earth. And it had the rings on it because it was to be portable all the way through. It was to be portable, not set in stone in one place. This is not God's style. It's the conflict, I suppose, between religion and spirituality, which we have, of course, in our own lives, because we all would prefer the old and familiar, set in stone, rather than the way of the Spirit, which is always dynamic and moving on.